Well, we are really going over a whole list of events that are going on in our region for the holiday season and for the end of November and also December. And we are being joined this morning by Bethany Scheffer from the Sharon Audubon Center. And Bethany's going to talk with us a little bit about some of the things that are coming up at the Audubon Center in between now and the end of December. Bethany, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much, Marshall. Good morning to you as well.
All right. So, you know, Sharon Audubon is kicked up, and I know there's always something that was that comes across my mind every year at this time, and that is the Christmas bird count. I was first introduced to that by Marshall Case many, many, many years ago. That is an event that is, I think, just probably one of the best subscribed bird events in the country.
Yes, I wouldn't argue with that at all. And it's certainly one of the oldest. It really started at the turn of the 20th century, where people used to really go out and see how much quarry they could get during Christmas time. So people would go out with their guns, they would shoot as many birds as they could, and then they would come and compare the quarry at the end of the day. And so it was really all due to a gentleman named Frank Chapman, who again at the turn of the 20th century had proposed that people start counting birds instead of hunting them, because people were starting to take notice about bird population decline at that time. So that was really what sort of changed the game for birds in that really perilous time where their numbers are really plummeting pretty quickly.
And this is also known as the Trixie Strauss bird count, right?
That's right, yep. And so that's our regional count here in Sharon. And so when folks set up their Christmas bird count circles, it's a specific radius that's utilized to be able to cover specific geographic area that usually includes a variety of different habitats to make sure that we can get as many different species as possible to really get a good idea of what population numbers might be, again, for a variety of species that usually will reside or overwinter in a variety of different habitats like forests and fields and farmlands and things like that.
Now, this is coming up on December 19th, and this is a 24-hour count, right? People can take the full 24 hours and then report what they found?
Yes, and I think that's the most absolutely delightful facet of the Christmas bird count myself, even though I cannot claim, even as an enthusiastic birder, that I've ever done a full 24-hour count. But there are loads and loads of birders out there who do really, truly take advantage of that full 24 hours. So usually what that looks like is that people might wake up early to try to get owl species that are active still in those twilight hours.
No.
So then you can go out for the rest of the day, and then you can maybe, if you didn't get your owls in those early morning hours, you might go out at night again before your time is up to try to get those species.
Now, do people register for this?
They do, yeah. And so if people want to volunteer with us at Sharon Audubon and accompany us on our routes as part of the count, then they're more than welcome to email me directly or contact me at the office to be able to sign up. We've had a couple of people call already that are, you know, have been wanting to get back into Christmas counts and be a part of the census. And so we have a few routes, through us at Sharon that we'd be happy to put folks on if they would like to participate. And I will mention that you are not required to do the full 24 hours by any means, and you're not even required to accompany us for the full time that staff might be out on our routes. So if you only want to go out for a couple of hours and just get your feet wet, that's perfectly fine. We're happy to accommodate folks.
That is December 19th, the Trixie Strauss Christmas at Bird Count. We'll back up a little bit here and go with something that's related to that, and that is on December 11th, your Christmas Bird Count preamble and project. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, so that's speaking of getting folks' feet wet and Christmas Bird Count activity, this is a really good way for folks to see what exactly happens on the Christmas bird count, you know, like how we're counting species, you know, what we're looking for. We'll be going over certain field marks to be able to identify pretty common backyard birds that you would see, you know, watching your feeders, for example. And that's actually a really important thing to mention for Christmas bird count, is not everybody has to go out on a route to be able to participate in the count. We have, gosh, I think we had upwards of maybe 40-something folks at one point in our annual count that were just at home that were watching their feeders. You know, so if people want to do that and are curious if they fall within the geographic range of our Christmas bird count, please, I encourage you to go ahead and give us a call at the office, and we can be able to take a look at a map and see if you are within our count circle. Because if you are, then again, watching feeders is a great help for the census, because it may capture eruptive species that come down from the boreal forests of northern Canada, Alaska, for example, that might be at your feeder. So you might get pine siskins, you might be getting cool things like evening grosbeaks or something really exciting that maybe we just aren't getting because, you know, we're not looking at feeders per se when we're out on the routes.
I just wanted to remind people we're speaking with Bethany Sheffer from the Sharon Audubon and some of the December programs. I really love the name of the December 11th event, the Christmas Bird Count Preamble and Project Feeder Watch. I like that. Now that goes from 10 to 12. And once again, do people register for that as well?
They do, yep. And so folks can go ahead and contact. Actually, no, that one is taken care of through the website. So people can log on to our website at sharon.audubon.org. They can find that particular event, and then you can register through the website there. I will mention really quickly, Marshall, that Project Feeder Watch, that's a different community science initiative, which is to say that, you know, everyday folks can jump in and participate, and that data is used by ornithologists and scientists around the country to be able to assess bird population status and health and distribution. So Project Feeder Watch also goes back some years. Back in the 70s, it was started in Canada, and that essentially involves folks honestly just watching their feeders throughout the entirety of the winter. It starts in November and usually concludes in about April or May, and they just ask that folks watch their feeders. It can be for as few as 5 minutes a day, but for two consecutive days, and then take a tally of the birds that they see. And they've done tons of updates to the website and the data platforms so that it's really easy to go ahead and jump on the website at feederwatch.org and log your data after you've concluded your feeder watch time. Now, I said that people can do it for as few as 5 minutes, but if they're really into it and it's like the thing that you look forward to most during the week, you can do it for as much as like 8 hours a day or more. I mean, you could do it for as long as you want, for as long as there's daylight. And for me, there's really nothing more that I love, Marshall, than just kicking my feet up in the morning, having my hot cup of coffee, and then doing Feeder Watch for about a half an hour. It's just really relaxing. It's really pleasant to see just who comes to your feeder, and I think it all probably helps us relieve stress to some degree just watching these birds at feeders. It's really a lovely project. So again, folks can learn more about Project Feeder Watch by jumping online at feederwatch.org and then signing up. It's a $15 participation fee if you're a member of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and it's $18 otherwise. But with that, you get a nice little packet of a Feeder Watch calendar and some other materials. So it's great fun.
Let's talk a little bit about the December 18th event now. That's the Winter Solstice Walk from 5 to 7:30. That is free, and let's talk a little bit about that walk.
Oh, sure. So this would be, again, you mentioned December 18th. So we're really trying to just highlight this lovely natural occurring event of the solstice. And we are inviting folks to come to our property. We'll have luminaria that help illuminate the path along parts of the Sharon Audubon Sanctuary, so folks can take advantage of that at night. You can see some softly lit lights that are along the trail. We did have some fire pits last year that the folks could gather around afterwards. We had some really nice, lovely Christmas music playing in the background. So it just really created quite a lovely atmosphere for folks. And as the winter is upon us at that time. We were lucky enough to have snow last year, which really just made everything quite magical and beautiful. So fingers crossed that we also have a nice blanket of snow this year for the event as well.
Now, what's interesting about all these programs is they're fun and they're entertaining and they can be for people of all ages. But is this really part of a community science where actually what people do by doing all these events really provides important information, I would think, to the Audubon and to birders especially?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Marshall. I'm glad you mentioned that. Both with Feeder Watch and with the Christmas Bird Count, what I love is that scientists really figured out a way to mobilize people on massive scales to help them collect the data, because there's no way that they would be able to do it themselves. We need numbers to be able to get data on what birds are doing, where they're moving, where they're present, where they're not present, what their numbers look like, what kinds of diseases may be coming up at feeders and spreading and where, and all of that kind of information. So, yes, it really does allow the scientific community to capture this critical data to be able to help us really mostly understand bird health, bird population health, and bird distribution, where birds are and where they're not.
Well, once again, if you want more information on this and anything that goes on at the Sharon Audubon Center, sharon.audubon.org is their web address. And Meredith, thanks for joining. Meredith, listen to me. I looked at the paper. Bethany. Meredith was my last interview.
Early in the morning, Marshall, no worries.
Meredith was my last interview right before you. Well, Bethany, continued success with all your events at Sharon Audubon. And once again, people can find out all the information at sharon.audubon.org. So thanks for joining us this morning.
You are most welcome, Marshall. Thank you so much. And have a great holiday week, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I'll get it right again. That's so funny when you have so many interviews back-to-back-to-back. Bethany Sheffer, volunteer coordinator at the Sharon Audubon Center, talking about their December programs this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.